I just thought I'd ask a few questions this morning since it's Mother's Day and just, you know, kind of have you see some of the things that many moms do. So how many moms here navigate or have at least at one time or another navigate working a full-time job while also mothering? How many? Just raise your hand. Okay, so quite a few. How many moms have homeschooled their children at some point? Raise their hand. All right, quite a few. How many moms have stayed up late at night because your child forgot to tell you about cookies or some event or finishing some science project? Raise your hand. All right, quite a few. How many moms have taken care of sick children? How many have taken care of sick children when you were sick? All right. How many moms have fostered children, adopted, or raised children who were not your own blood relations? All right, appreciate you doing that as well. How many moms have put a child down for a nap because you were tired, not because they needed it? All right, and how many moms have had the privilege of having your child make a decision to follow Jesus Christ? How many moms have had that? All right, well, that's exciting. Well, thank you, moms. Your work matters. It's a high and holy calling. And I'd like to pray, and then we'll get into this just a little bit. Dear God, we come to you today, and we're grateful for holidays that really call us to appreciate, to honor, to obey that command in your scripture of honoring your mother and father. Lord, I pray that every mother here would feel honored. Lord, I pray for every woman here that that you would be with every person and every woman that maybe this is a difficult day. There could be your mom has died. It could be that there are some ladies here who have lost children. It could be that there are some prodigal children represented here today by moms. There could be a lot of reasons. But I just pray for your Holy Spirit to comfort and give peace for those for whom this is a bittersweet day. Lord, I do just pray that you would lift up moms in their work, whether they're homeschooling or carpooling or working with the PTA at their kids' school or coaching or at home cleaning or holding down that other job, whatever it might be. Lord, I pray that you bless them and protect them and lead them and encourage them in this crucial and important work that they do of raising up the next generation. Lord, I ask your blessing on them in the name of Jesus. Amen. I was reading about a father and a son, and the dad had asked his little guy, he was really little, what he wanted for his birthday, and the little guy had said, "I want a younger brother." And what he didn't know was that mom was pregnant, and so eventually, around the time of his birthday, he actually got a younger brother, and so he was excited about that. And then the next year came around, and the dad asked him, he said, "So what do you want for your birthday this year?" And the little guy kind of hesitated, and he could tell he was thinking hard, and he said, "Well, Dad," he said, "what I really like is a pony, but I'm afraid that would be hard on mom." Mothering is a challenge. A good indicator of that is that it begins with something called labor. And so it is a challenge, but it's also a high and holy calling. I like what Frederick Buechner once said about calling. He said, "It's the place, calling is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." And for many, many women, motherhood is that calling, that vocation, at least for, you know, part of their lives. And it's something that even when they leave the home, there's still that attachment. There's still mothering that goes on. And so I do want to lift out just a couple keys to successful parenting. And everybody in this room that's been a mom or been a dad or been a parent in any way knows that parenting is complex and it's a challenge, it's rewarding. And so, you know, in 25 minutes, I can't, you know, or in a few minutes, can't give you all the keys to parenting. But I just want to lift out a few and have you take some of these and think about it. You see, parenting is, it really is about connection. Now, there's obviously the separation that starts, as Cody talked about, but there is connection. It is a key part of parenting. My wife really loves this approach to counseling, and it's called emotionally focused therapy, and it talks a lot and focuses a lot about attachments, human attachments, and that our relationships are absolutely crucial. They're completely key to us having a good life here. And part of what makes connection work is accessibility and response and trust. And that happens when we're in relationship with our children. Now, a baby, as we all know, is literally inside a mother and literally connected through the umbilical cord. And through that cord flows life itself. And even when the child leaves, the mother, even when there's birth, there is still a connection with that mom. There is still emotional life that is given by the mother to the child. And it's really a powerful connection that can happen. Now, sometimes I've talked to some moms, and they have a little more trouble with maybe sometimes the boys, because they're like, well, I remember being a little girl. I remember what that's like, but how do I relate to these little boys that keep jumping off of things and getting muddy and very physical? They tend to be very different. And, one little way to just help with the attachment, the connection, is when you need to stop and talk to your little boy, actually touch him, because it's very easy for him to kind of just, blow you off and not listen to you. Actually touch him, get eye contact, and make that, help that connection. But moms and parents in general have these real heart connections, and a big part of parenting is having that heart connection with your child. And so it's always crucial. I would encourage you, even when your child has done something wrong, even when they're older and they know better and you're like, I can't believe you did this, to truly listen to them, to allow them to give kind of their side of the story. And it is a challenge. We have 5 children, and I'm like, an incident will happen, and I hear this side of the story, I hear that side of the story. I'm like, were these two in the same room? And it's hard to kind of wade through it if there's a conflict. But truly try to listen to your children and always protect that heart connection. Don't let that be severed. Allow that to be just a crucial thing. One author was writing, he said, there are very few things more defining than the people you choose to do life with. And our children, and in parenting, there's not a choice there. The child doesn't get to choose their parent. But understand that that parental role is so crucial. Our relationships are all so crucial to how we live out. There are even physical ramifications. There was a Harvard study I thought was fascinating. Dr. Dobson talks about this in one of his books. And Harvard studied these men, and 91% of college men who said they did not have a good relationship with their mom had developed these physical problems, coronary artery disease, hypertension, ulcers, a heavier instance of alcoholism by their middle years. But if you looked at men that described their relationship and their connection with their mother as strong, it dropped from the 91% in that particular study down to 45%. Those that had a strong relationship with their mother did not have those same physical problems later, which I find fascinating, just the whole emotional and spiritual and body connection, how that all works. I will tell you that most of us have found parenting a little bit humbling. I mean, you've had those moments where you weren't a parent yet, and you're in the restaurant, and you're with the family, and the kids are escalating. They're 2 tables over, and it gets worse and worse. And you're like, when I have kids, that's not going to happen. They're not going to embarrass me. And we had 5 children, and they're older now, and so they behave quite well at 21 and 19 in the restaurants, the older ones. But when we were little, I kind of just viewed it internally in my mind. I imagined a timer being stuck in the middle of our table, and we had so long to eat our meal and get out of there before things would start to deteriorate. And you have to be careful, because when you head into parenting, you have all these ideas, you have all these theories. I love what one author said, before I had children, I had all these 100 theories, And she simply said, now that I've had children, I have one, and it's to love them, and love them even when they don't deserve it. And so we want to make sure that we protect that precious connection between a mother and her children, between a parent and their child. I was reading about a lady that I enjoyed this, Deborah Kemp. She was at a gas station, and she had her little one in the back. Her six-year-old daughter was, Ashley, was in a back seat. And as she's filling up the car, you know, she wasn't right up there by the driver's seat, and some man at the gas station jumped in her car and was able to take off with the car and her child in the back seat. Now, what Deborah did, according to the reports, Deborah actually, you know, hung on. She, you know, the window was down, the driver's side window was down. She actually hung on to the door and the steering wheel as the guy is driving, and he basically dragged her for several blocks on her knees. And she's like hitting him and screaming the whole time. And I love what she said. She said, "I was concerned about my baby. That was part of me in that car." Now, how the story ended was she ended up making him crash the car because she would not let go. And by the time police got there, she'd gotten a hold of that that anti-theft device, that club thing, and was bashing him over the head, and he was begging for mercy. So you don't mess with the mother-child bond. It's just like, you know, and you've probably had this in your neighborhood. You know, we live off the river and right on Riverview. And one of the things you have to be careful about is the moose will walk into our neighborhood and they'll kind of hang out. And, you know, they're not too dangerous most of the time, but what will happen, and we've seen this happen, one of the teenagers was walking home and the mother moose was on one side of the road and the baby moose was on the other side of the road, and he walked right in between them and she chased him down our street. And you don't want to mess with that bond. There is a connection. And so to be a successful parent, you want to protect and you want to strengthen that connection between mother and child. The second key is that you want to offer your child Christ. Obviously, you can't give your child something you don't have, but if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, it is crucial that you point them to Christ, because that is the ultimate connection. That is even more important than your connection with them, is that they have that connection with Jesus Christ, with God, that will last for eternity. I love 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5, where it says this. Paul writes about Timothy, to Timothy. He says, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." And I love that. That grandmother, that mother, they sowed into him. And I don't know where the grandfather was and the father. I don't know if they died early. I don't know what happened there. But they sowed into him, and he became a great man of faith. And so part of successful parenting is passing on the faith. And so as a mother, as a father, please be thinking, be intentional in how you live that out. How can we pass on the faith? How can we foster in them a desire for them to know Christ and to follow him? You know, God has given moms a special role as teacher and caretaker and guide to these little sinners that we call children. And it is a precious role. It's a powerful role. It's been said that the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world, and it's true. There's great influence in being a mother. And so I want you to stop and think about, how can I place Christ? How can I share Christ with my children? Most people make a decision for Christ while they're still a child. And the most powerful evangelistic tool in the world is the Christian home. Pray for those children regularly. Sow the truth into them. Have them see in you the model of a Christian life. When I think back to my mother, who was an amazing mom, I think the different ways that she did it, and she didn't just read us Bible stories, she loved to find other stories that she thought taught spiritual truth. like C.S. Lewis, the Narnia series. That was a classic. And I'll never forget the first book, and you may have seen the movie, you know, The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. You may have read the book. And the scene where Aslan the lion, who is the Jesus figure, and he offers himself for the traitor, for Edmund, on a stone table. And then he rises from the dead. And I remember the first time, you know, my mom's reading this story, and I think my sister was like 4. And she said, I mean, without any prompting, you're just reading this story, a story about a lion. And she goes, that sounds like Jesus. And she was already beginning to get it, already beginning to get that spiritual truth that's so crucial. And honestly, sometimes it's hard to sow the gift of Christ into the life of your child. Sometimes they are resistant. Sometimes it's difficult. Diane Pitts, an author, talks about how there was a birthday where she was so excited and she had told her parents that she really wanted a horse or a watch. Those were the two things, and she really wanted one of those. And the horse, she just wasn't sure was realistic, so that's why she gave him the watch option. But she was like, you're going to come through on one of these. Well, she didn't get a horse, and she didn't get a watch. What she got was a piano and piano lessons. And as a kid, she wasn't real excited about that. But she found that very quickly, she loved music, and her mother had seen something in her, and it became this incredible part of her life. She loved the keyboard. She loved to play the piano. She loved to participate in music. And so sometimes the gift you don't want is a crucial and important and powerful positive gift. And so sometimes there may be stretches where your child, where your teenager is not as excited about you trying to give them the gift of Christ. And obviously, we have to be careful and not overdo it, maybe, I guess. I don't know. But we want to offer him or her the most precious gift, which is a relationship with the very Son of God, the one who came and offered himself for our sins. And so I want you to do that. I love, there's a verse that my mom has in her home, and I still, whenever I go back, I see it. And it's 3 John verse 4, and it simply says this. She has it plastered up on the wall. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Some of you here, your children aren't walking in the truth, and that's a hard thing for you. And that may make Mother's Day a little bittersweet for you. But I would encourage you to keep praying and keep sowing and keep offering that gift gently, respectfully. You see, the faith does a lot of things for people, but one of the most important is that it gives us the truth. So often we think we know everything. I mean, I'm amazed, little children. I'm just like, you know, I'm an adult. This little child is looking at me, telling me something, and he thinks he knows better than I do. I mean, sometimes from the back seat when you're driving, and you're like, really? Really? Come on. Understand, all children need to understand the truth. And the truth is found in God's Word. Even in places where the world looks, I mean, I like science. I think science is helpful. But I got to be honest with you, the facts have changed from when I was a kid. I mean, go up to UAF and try and teach science with a 50-year-old science book. Have the facts changed? The facts? The source of truth is the Holy Scripture. That's what we can count on. That's what we can trust. And so we want to make sure that we sow that into our children. Maybe doing memory work with them. Maybe reading Bible stories. It's just crucial. And so the connection, offering our child Christ, that's crucial. And the last idea is this, and that's consistency. I love what the Apostle Paul says, but I think it applies to moms. I think it applies to dads. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. This is bold. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Wow. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And we know this intuitively as parents. Your kids are watching everything. They're watching, and they want to see consistency. I've never forgotten the many times that my children, you know, I'll look back and, you know, here we are in this culture that it has a lot of snow, lots of winter, and you look back and I have walked across a yard, or I've walked across a field, or I've walked somewhere and the snow is deep, and I look back and one of my small children is stepping in my steps. That's a powerful image. They're watching closely. And so consistency is so crucial. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. You know, sin has a candy coating. It tastes good for a short period of time, but initially it leads to heartbreak and bitterness and resentment, and children are going to be attracted to sin. As a matter of fact, the scripture teaches us that children are born with a bent towards sin. You never have to sit down. I never did with my children. Let's sit down, the five children, and have a little talk. I want to teach you how to be selfish. Never had to do that. Somehow they came with that, right? They had that. See, we're born with a bent towards sin. I don't believe we're utterly depraved, but I believe because of Adam and what he did, there's this bent in us towards selfishness and towards sin. And as parents, we have to work on that, on ourselves and with our children, and try to call them to holiness. Thankfully, God can give us a new mind and a new identity, and we can walk in holiness and truth. And so we want to be consistent. There was a mother, and she was with her little girl, and they're washing dishes. And the little girl notices that mom is starting to get some gray hair. And she comments on that, and she says, you know, why are some of your hairs white, mom? And her mom thought she'd have a little fun with her, and she says, well, every time you do something wrong and make me cry or unhappy, one of my hairs turns white. The little girl thought about that for a minute and said, well, how come all of Grandma's hair is white? See, turnabout's fair play. Consistency is crucial. Children may sometimes close their ears to your advice, but they will keep their eyes open to your example. Always. They're always watching. It has been said that 5 minutes of demonstration is better than an hour of talk. And I think that is true. And so we need to ask ourselves, we need to assess ourselves. A great question, what have you done today, or what have you done this week that nobody but a Christian would do? How are you different? How would somebody know you're a Christian if you just removed the hour and a half on Sunday morning? How would somebody know? Your kids know, and they're watching. It's been said example is not the main thing influencing others. It's the only thing. You see, if children live with criticism, they learn to condemn. If they live with hostility, they learn to fight. If they live with encouragement, they learn confidence. If they live with acceptance, they learn to love. And I love what one leader said. He said, my life is my message. And your children will receive your message. They are watching your life. And so live well. Walk in holiness. Let me, I want to have the benches come up. This is their last Sunday with us. Well, Cody will be back next week, but it's the last Sunday the whole family is going to be with us. They are moving away, and we've enjoyed getting to know them and had the privilege of baptizing both of them. And I appreciate Cody. You know, when I baptized her, she invited her entire team of UAF women's basketball players, and most of them came. And just what a great testimony as she made that public commitment and said, I want to follow Christ. One of the tough things about Fairbanks is people come and go. And so I just want to pray for this couple as they take off and leave, and give you the opportunity after the service to say goodbye to them. And like I said, Cody will be here next week, but Chris will be gone. So let me say a prayer for you guys. Dear God, I just thank you for these two. I thank you for their lives and that you brought them together. I thank you that you have blessed them with delightful children and just given them this incredible privilege to sow into them and to raise them up and point them to you. Lord, I pray for their move. I pray for it to go smoothly. I pray for them to find a great church in their new community, to make new friends, to connect with old relationships since there's a history there. And I pray for them. I pray you provide for them the right jobs and just open up the right doors for them. We thank you for our time with them and ask your blessing on them in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.